It's a temperance reform, says the marginal heading there. Felt all over the land. That is, all over the body. The reforming of temperament is what's required. The cutting down of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so that lust, malice, and so on are not part of man's temperament. That there's no pleasure in sin, line 20, is one of the most important points, says the text, in the theology of Christian Science. Therefore, in the psychology also of the science of spirit, as we had it earlier on. Therefore, down 26-27, healing the sick and reforming the sinner become inseparable in truth. One and the same thing in Christian Science. 405 at the top, the basic error, mortal mind. Inflame mortal minds, brutal propensities by hatred. And if you're not the lowest type of manhood, you're bound to become a hopeless sufferer. So master the propensities in the way that Christian Science commands, line 5, and be delivered from an army of mental conspirators in the margin. Conspirators against health, happiness, and success. Otherwise, mortal mind and body will be manacled, line 15, until the last farthing is paid. Sin is self-destroying. Its necessity is to destroy itself. Otherwise, line 27, it ends in physical and moral doom. Or therefore, it ends in physical and moral doom. Because moral penalties bring ills that conquer us. And therefore, sinful pains are, of course, less harmful than sinful pleasures. Sinful pains cause us to flee from body to spirit, line 31, whereas sinful pleasures, of course, induce us to move further and further away from spirit to body. So spirit is our divine source outside the material sense of self. And the answer to it all is really found in the Bible, over on 406, which is the recipe for all healing, full salvation, every emergency. And therefore, what the Bible brings into expression is what is meant by the tree of life, the indivisibility of all real being, as against the breakup concept of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree breathes through its leaves, doesn't it? And hence the leaves of this tree of life, which in terms of life itself would, of course, be divinely inspired individuality. That's what heals the collective nations, or the supposed dismemberment of the human race into all these awful warring factions. And this is why the tree with its branches, identical with the golden candlestick and its branches, typifies divine principle. The tree's life circulates from and to its roots in divine love. The tree of life's life circulates from and to its roots in divine love, where there's no fear. And therefore, this is what heals sin, sickness, and death. being moral. You don't fear, you'll commit a murder, line 17, and we should be as fearless on the question of disease. Line 20, error opposed to life. Error, breakup, naturally opposes life, undividedness. And therefore, truth supreme over error is life supreme over death. 22:23. And it's because of this that we shall reach the fullness of our identity as God's idea, no longer fear sickness and death. And this will be control over the body, line 27, fully regained. Do we remember in the physiology chapter how paradise lost was loss of control over the body, and how paradise regained was control over the body regained? All because basically, of course, it's mind itself that is master. Line 29, that is to say, in full control of its own body, which is man. This is what gives us strength and understanding whereby to exercise normal control. Line 30, over depraved appetites, morbid cravings in the margin, such as drunkenness, etc., and bringing to light, 407, our true self-respect. What's our true self-respect? It's respect for God as the self of everything. Well, it may involve a mighty struggle, line 8, over the enslaving passions, in order to be victorious over them, and they not crush out happiness, health, manhood. But all this is Christian science, lifting us above our human selves and replacing the weakness of mortal mind with the strength of immortal mind. On line 17, the slave of wrong desire thus ascends the scale of health, happiness, and existence. What's happening is all a matter of the spiritualization of thought, so that consciousness consists of the light of divine mind, of life, not death, where we no longer believe that we arise from and return to some mythical, dark, unconscious realm. That's why the subject here in the margin is immortal memory. Real memory, immortal, not mortal. It's a faculty of mind that can't be lost or die. Science, line 22, the perfect model of all that mind knows itself to be, should always be present in thought. Line 25, constituting the truth about memory. Just the very opposite of taking time to remember things, to think things up out of the so-called subconscious. Because in that case there's no insanity, because nothing is out of mind. Nothing lost to ever-present mind. All sin is insanity, sin out of mind. No, mind, remembering in the spiritual sense everything that exists, knowing all that exists. And likewise, sickness, over in 408, is the loss of, is loss of, or out of harmony, out of mind. Line 6, a universal insanity, a general craze, craziness, so-called of so-called health, mistaking fable for fact throughout the entire round of the material senses, whether it's on the individual scale or the generic scale. Another insanity is to think that drugs themselves can cure insanity. Line 14, mortal mind can't be reached through matter. Drugs don't affect a corpse, says the text. If mortal mind didn't think, believe, that the tarsal joint is less intimately connected with the mind than is the brain, insanity would result from dislocation of the tarsal joint as much as from congestion of the brain. Well, the chapter now is very near the end of its first major section, and it seems to focus now on the nothingness of the unconscious substratum of mortal mind, which the conscious stratum believes is matter. So that down on line 28, the unconscious thought in brain, matter, as the corporeal substratum of mortal mind, doesn't really do anything at all. Because mind in matter, sensation in body, is unreal. The belief that sensation is in matter is mortal mind just being ignorant of itself, ignorant, unconscious of its own errors and their effects. The self of mortal mind made up of just these errors and their effects. 409, because mortal mind and body combine as one. Mind, little m, is matter's final statement. And if it's its final statements, what are its intermediate statements? We see from the text that they're nerves, brain. So there's the ascending order. Matter, nerves, brain, mind. So again, on line 9, matter, brain, is unconscious mortal mind, which can't say dictatorially to conscious mortal mind, I'm sick. Body, matter, the unconscious substratum of mortal mind, cannot suffer and report disease independently of so-called conscious mortal mind, lines 11 and 12. The belief that it can, says the text, is what prevents mortals from knowing how to control, to govern their bodies. Line 15. So on line 16, conscious mortal mind is believed to be superior to its unconscious substratum matter, and the stronger shouldn't fear. It will yield to the weaker, and it certainly shouldn't choose to yield to it. Animate, conscious mortal mind has got to be found governed by God alone. Line 20, that is, by the mind which knows itself to be spirit. Conscious mortal mind is governed by God. When, as mortal man, it lays itself off for the real man, man's self is then God's spirit, not matter, not unconscious mortal mind. and in this lies the science of man. Line 25, whereby the mortal is put off for the immortal. And we come down that page. This science of man is the very science of life itself, of which we mustn't spend our days here in ignorance, like mortal mind, ignorant of itself, ignorant of the science that man's real self is God. No here and hereafter for the science of life. Science of life is Christian science, eternally here now. It's mortal mind's ignorant, divisive objectification of its own subjective state, matter, that produces belief in a life here, dependent on matter, and 27, and a life hereafter supposedly not dependent on matter, and 28. So postulating an original fall from spirit to matter, necessitating a later return through the death of matter, from matter back to spirit. 410, so let's give heed to Christian science in order that spiritual life, 9.3, is to us here, now, forever. Therefore, no death. That's to say, don't die in order to know the science of life, but live to know it now. This is life eternal. Line 4. Is, not shall be or used to be. Everlasting life, little l, is the present knowledge of Father and Son one, of the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom God sends, namely the knowledge, science of love, truth, life, that wonderful, rare compound, love, truth, life. That which is sent is every word, uncapitalized, that proceedeth out of the mouth of the divine capitalized word, and it's therefore the bread of life, 9.10. Truth capitalized, undivided from truth, uncapitalized, is the very life of man. Love, sending forth itself, is truth. That's what truth is. Love, sending forth itself. And this present knowledge of the undividedness of the Father and ourselves is life. Ourselves as the Christ body, the Father's own subjective state or self, which the Father knows, of which he is conscious, of which he is not ignorant, never unconscious. Now mankind really shouldn't object to thus practicing Christian science, to being itself, to being what it is. Line 14, you can feel that court case at the end of the chapter getting closer. Every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. Spirit, the subjective state of our true divine mind, overcomes every seemingly objective matter condition when our faith is strong and our love is pure. And this makes us therefore perfect in love and therefore fearless. In this case, our love, little L, is the reflection of love, capital L, as in the case of that wonderful Mary Magdalene at the beginning of the chapter. Well, here the first part of the chapter closes, and we come to this second part called Mental Treatment Illustrated, and the illustration itself is going to come some 20 pages hence in what is called the court case. So let's go on line 30 at the bottom there. Basis of Christian Science practice, be not afraid. When we are unselfish, that's self, unselfish, 924, when we are love, little L, the subjective state of love, capital L, we are not afraid. Abuse of the science of mental practice or Christian Science practice, the opposite of love, namely mental malpractice. So it is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Christ's keynote of harmony, line 30. 4:11, the thing I greatly feared is come upon me, Job said, and he said it when he lamented the day that he was born, when in belief he was cut off from spirit, divine love, and born into a matter body. Because this is where the great mortal fear of death originates, in material birth. So now down to line 8, until the student is perfectly attuned to divine science, the human never having been cut off from the divine, that is, which is the ultimatum, the scientific way, when spirit or the power of divine love bears witness to the truth, so that the healing is instantaneous. Until then, he needs the arguments of truth to remind him, which may include, says the text, silently naming the disease if necessary. Tremendously important topic now on what is meant by the term argument. Jesus once caused disease to be self-named, that is, self-seen, on line 19, and therefore self-destroyed. The healing was straightway, that is, instantaneous. Look how he caused the one evil to name itself legion, the false one and the all. Legion, multitude, great many. He just calmed, controlled the sea, hadn't he? And they'd passed over in the gospel to the other side, that standpoint of no birth, no death, so that the legion of the swinish elements in the human character, inhabiting the Gadarene demoniac as he dwelt in the tombs, ran violently down the steep place into the sea and were drowned. And then the man, we remember, was found clothed and in his right mind. You see how belief in unconscious mortal mind no longer controlled him? He was in control of himself, mind controlled, no longer out of mind, but consciously in and of mind, self-named, self-known, not self-ignorant. No more belief in unconscious matter, the sea, outside the control of consciousness. Man's right mind, made up consciously of Christly, not swinish elements and qualities, made up of a legion of clean spirits, not unclean ones. Clean ones constituting the very body of the one spirit. Therefore, no more fear, because no more ignorance. 9:21, no more fear, ignorance, sin, the procuring cause of disease. No disease as the externalization of an image of sinful thought. The mental state no longer believed to be a material state. Well, this simple rule, says the text on line 30 of Christian Science, is therefore be not afraid. Be the state of mind that walks over and has control of the sea. Because in wholly removing the fear, the patient is healed. And this is God, 4:12, lovingly governing all, destroying fear of sickness and punishing only sin. Plead, that is, argue the case scientifically for truth by thinking and speaking truth, little t. Argument. How interesting. From the Latin root argentum, silver. To make clear, reason offered in proof. Can't help being reminded, can you, of the sun, the gold, the greater light to rule the day, which is really the absolute, its revelation itself, and the moon, the silver, the lesser light to rule the night. Argument, disposing of dualism, reason. As we come down that page a little, we can really distinguish between the absolute and argument. The absolute, the power of Christian Science, divine love, the power of truth, divine spirit, the presence of health, the facts of harmonious being. And what this does, true sense of argument, it unclasps the hold and destroys disease, sin, death, breaks the dream of the material senses. Therefore, argue that the patient has no disease. That's the absolute. Argue the absolute. Then there's healing. The body corresponds with the true absolute sense of health and harmony. It's really argument. Argument is really the absolute, getting rid of the belief that there are two things fighting each other, getting inflamed about each other, or arguing with each other. And we come at the bottom there to topic of parents and children. Parents' thought governs the child's thought. Therefore, cut the child thought off from the parent thought by realizing that, in fact, it's never been cut off from the one, all, regulating parent mind, that there are no hereditary diseases. 4:13, no transmission from parent to child. In today's terms, biological terms, no genetic DNA code reposited in the nucleus of the cell, the bodily cells. And mind, the parent, doesn't produce pain in matter as its child. Come down to line 12, daily ablutions. Water isn't the child's natural habitat any more than dry land is the natural habitat of a fish. Line 16, cleanliness is next to godliness. Yes, and therefore godliness is really humanity's natural habitat. The natural element of the parent mind to wrest humanity in belief from God, mind, and put it into matter is certainly to put it into a most unnatural habitat. So at the bottom there, in line with this, don't convey images of disease to the budding thought that can later be reproduced on the body. Don't educate children in discord by laying foundations of belief in disease and death up there on 414 at the top. Educate, educare, to lead out. Lead thought out from the parent mind, but see that it's never been cut off from the parent mind. Because this, on line 4, is what insanity is. Thought cut off in belief from mind, out of mind. Now truth, little t, is thought that is never cut off from truth, capital T, and therefore is never out of mind. Error is thought that has, in belief, been cut off from truth, and therefore is out of mind, and therefore it's truth, uncapitalized, that heals the error of insanity. Matter, brain can't control or derange mind. Truth and love, uncapitalized, mind's own body, arranged, perfect in its wholeness, no part deranged. Truth, the explanation of Christian science, that this truth, the explanation of Christian science, that needs to be fixed steadfastly in thought. Truth, little t, the Christianly scientific basis of the Christian scientist's argument. What is that? Verse 21, 22, that the Lord, He is God. That's the absolute. The Lord, He is God, good, the absolute basis. There is none beside Him. Argument. Proof of the absolute. So what the Christian scientist really argues is indeed the absolute. Because against that, there's no argument. No opposing forces at war with one another. And that's why divine love's perfection at the bottom of the page is seen in man's unimpeachable perfection. Something that can't be called in question, can't be argued against. So if no matter, line 32, existing alongside mind, then there's nothing to argue about. And if nothing to argue about, no fear. And if no fear, no inflammation. That means to say, no warfare. Matter not inflamed, in the margin, 415. because inflammation, fire, excitement, agitation, resulting in pain, agitation, incense to anger, argument. Inflammation, the action of the system either too quick or too slow. Mortal thought produces inflammation. Opiates don't get rid of inflammation, they only quiet thought by inducing stupefaction. So that thought is temporarily unconscious of inflammation. Opiate, narcotic, opium-inducing sleep. It's a false sense of rest, isn't it? The longing to get away from argument, from inflammation, anger, warfare, fear. So they take the drug in order to get quiet and tranquil. That what we really need is conscious tranquility and rest in the mind, which is love, which narcotic tranquilizers certainly can't give. Thought, not matter, responsible for the disorder that needs to be calmed mentally. So calm, mortal mind, line 25, bring it to a state of quiet and rest. Get rid of all its ignorance by instructing it with truth. But don't use hypnotism or narcotics whereby to sink it into the unconscious. Get it into God, divine love. Etherization there on line 27, that's an inhaled anesthetic, isn't it? Where the body is caused to vanish from consciousness, to sink into unconsciousness until the thoughts are fully at rest. So again, the true rest is what is required. Divine love, where there is no fear, no inflammation. That etherization doesn't suppress inflammation proves that pain is in the mind and not in matter. And therefore the need for the truth of being to remove the mental image causing the pain. Now again, a hypodermic injection of morphine will put the patient quietly to sleep. Morpheus, the god of sleep. So again, the answer must lie in returning to rest in God, in divine love where there's no fear, and not in returning consciousness to a simulated rest in the unconscious, either by means of hypnotism, which is mental, or drugs, which are physical. On line 16, the material body which you call me is really mortal mind. The relation of mortal mind to material body is, says the text, the materialism of parent and child. Line 20, mortal body originating in the material sensations of mortal mind. Because of this, the sick are ignorant, both of the mental process by which they are depleted and also of the metaphysical method by which they are healed. To deplete, interesting, to empty out. Because clearly the metaphysical method that heals is the understanding that man is never other than whole, that he's never been depleted of anything. He's never been emptied out of God. Bottom of the page is being is sustained by spirit, not matter. And therefore he's never lost the health, the peace, the harmony of divine love. when the power of mind on line 5 supports and sustains the body in this way, our strength is found to be proportional to our courage. And we are free from overexertion and excited conditions, free from any form of depletion. And therefore we can hold our ground, we can stand firm on the unshaken understanding of, again, this wonderful compound, truth and love. Truth from which comes our strength, love from which comes our courage, so that the two are one. Inexhaustible, undepletable love from which we've never been emptied out. So it's repeated that sickness is a dream from which the patient awakens. It's a thing of hypnosis regarding the supposed involuntary unconscious workings of matter. And the Christian Scientist is a physician who awakens his patient, therefore, from a dream. That's how the disease is made unreal. Simply wakes up. So the patient is given an underlying understanding of the complete control of mind over the body. § 418, destroying mentally belief in material pleasure or pain. What's at work? Divine science, with its unchanging, unerring, and certain effect. Lovely, isn't it? Because in the oneness of being in divine science, God has never been depleted of man. Truth, little t, has never been emptied out of truth, capital T, no fallen man. And in this way, in the margin coming down to line 15, our arguments are full of truth. Because divine science, the one, and its embodiment, Christian science, the all, are two aspects of the same divine self-knowledge, or science itself. One disease is as readily destroyed as another. Just like the one demon whose name was Legion at the beginning of this section of the chapter. The one evil, the name for the first lion, all liars, says Science and Health much further back. So the one truth affirming itself confers harmony, and so negatives all disease. And this truthful argument is the same as metaphysical logic. 9:21. Healing the sick involves the logic of truthful arguments and at the same time entertaining the spirit of truth and love. 9:24. And therefore we must preach the gospel to every creature. The one covering the every, preach the one gospel to every creature, speak the truth to every form of the one error, cast out all manner of the one evil. Truth, speak the truth, truth the very light of truth itself, inseparable from truth, before which the dark images of mortal thought, the waking dream shadows at the bottom of the page there, of tumors, ulcers, inflammation, pain, deformed joints, and so on, flee. For this, in the margin, morality is required. Over the page, mortal mind, being ignorant of self, tumors, ulcers, and so on, appearing to be matter, they're really just the subjective states of lust, envy, etc., of mortal mind. So that the command, therefore, on line 5 is that you destroy the foe, the moral, lust, envy, and so on, where the accent is on voluntary conscious sin, and leave God, life, truth, and love to reveal the fact of no physical tumors, ulcers, etc. You don't do anything to them. All you do is get rid of the lust and the envy and the hate and the jealousy and all that stuff, and leave the other to God. And when you look round, it isn't there. All that that appears involuntarily, unconsciously, as disease. And now, no relapse, no reaction, but only recovery. Because everything in truth is everywhere present all at once. Nothing changes its form or goes from place to place. The only thing that's got to happen is that you've got to move it off. And that's possible because mind produces all action, line 20. Truth, the totality of mind's harmonious action. Because mind is one. No mortal minds. No or mortals. This is the marvelous principle of metaphysics, which there's neither a personal practitioner nor a personal patient. No fear, therefore, of mental malpractitioners or mental assassins seeking to rule mankind. One mind. Only one mind. Over the page, no metastasis. That's a change of state, substance, or form. No stoppage of harmonious action. No paralysis. And therefore, accept truth. Resist disease and sin. Receive the new idea. Because truth itself is body perfectly whole, is system perfectly regulated. Therefore, truth imparts a healthy stimulus to the body and regulates the system. Because there aren't two. What's at work is the power of the mind which is love. The fearlessness of love, that's the activity of mind that gives power over every physical action and condition, says the text on line 26. Now, if necessary, startle mortal mind in order to awaken it and break its dream of suffering. Tell the patient, if necessary, that in suffering, over to 421, from false beliefs, as he's doing, he's suffering only as the insane suffer. Well, that's enough to startle him. Insanity, says the text, is simply belief in a deranged brain, whereas physical ailments is belief in the derangement of other parts of the body. And this so important word, derangement, or, says the text in italics there, disarrangement. That means discomposition. This disarrangement, the true definition of all human belief in ill health or disturbed harmony. Line 6. Therefore, what is needed is to recover our proper mental and bodily arrangement. Supposing a crisis occurs, it's just the result of fermentation or chemicalization. On line 13, so stop the belief that chemicalization can produce pain or disease. God's Spirit is all. There's none beside him. Line 17. That's the absolute. God's Spirit is all. Therefore, there's no disease. Line 18. When the suffering, pain, and fear goes from mortal mind, the inflammation subsides. Therefore, calm the excitement produced by chemicalization. Remember how Jesus calmed the sea, the so-called collective unconscious. Chemicalization, line 22, the alterative effect which truth produces on error. So, the bottom of the page, the need to be Christianly scientific. Don't see disease objectively, don't experience it subjectively. Don't pervert mind science in the margin. That means cast out devils by Beelzebub at the top of 4:22, because that in Matthew 12 means don't be a kingdom divided against itself, which is brought to desolation. Cast out error with absolute truth, not by using other errors. Now we're still on the subject of this possible chemical stir, line 5, but now it's with regard to the reader of this book. The effect of this book in the margin. It's favorable if a great stir ensues throughout the whole system, aggravating certain moral and physical symptoms. Because you must let the book be the physician and allay the tremor, which truth sometimes brings to error when destroying it. Just think of the Apocalypse chapter. Read this book from beginning to end. It's the very body of principle. Take it and eat it up. Be the system, the body of divine principle. Don't derange. Don't disarrange truth's volume, truth's text. So let disease on line 13 be neutralized by chemical action. It's all a matter of mental and moral chemistry, spiritualizing consciousness, changing the basis of thought. Just as when an alkali neutralizes an acid and brings out a third quality, what is that third quality? Salt. Remember how Christian Scientist at the beginning of the chapter is the salt of the earth. When this necessary chemicalization has done its work, this is Christian Science through the alchemy of spirit on line 20, destroying sin and death. Alchemy, changing base metals into gold. Body reconstructed, line 19, through changes in mortal mind. And the subject comes back again, or seems to come back again, to bones. That symbol of the supporting underlying structure of the body. And we have bone disease treated on the one hand by a surgeon, on the other hand by a Christian Scientist. The surgeon is a metaphysician, the Christian Scientist is a metaphysician. The first believes that matter governs the conditions which matter itself forms. The other understands that mind alone governs, and therefore he holds the reins of government in his own hands. Understand scientifically, therefore, that all is mind, over to 423, and this truth of being, that all causation is mental, and it becomes a corrective, which is an alterative, says the text, reaching to every part of the human system, searching the joints and marrow, and restoring the harmony. All the perfectly jointed relationships of man. And it's a quote, isn't it, from Hebrews, that marvelous. Remember where it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, any surgeon's knife, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And therefore, it's this book, back there on the opposite page, which is the word of God, quick and powerful, a quick and powerful alterative reaching to every part of the human system and making it every whit whole, because what it presents is the divine system itself, which is every whit whole. Well, now it is, on line 24, that science and consciousness are at work in the economy of being according to the law of mind's absolute supremacy. And the word economy is defined in part as the ordering of parts in a system or body. Isn't that interesting? The way everything in this book is ordered, balanced, systematized, based on the true idea of capitalization. But it makes it the textbook of the very science of economics. Science, the consciousness. But this is what everything is being now in its health and its wholeness under the law of mind. And then, still on the subject of bones, joints, and basic structure, the topic becomes, on line 27 at the bottom there, ossification. To ossify means to change into, to form bone, to harden, to become set in conventional form. It's described in the text on lines 27-28 as an abnormal derangement. That means to say disarrangement of the body. So let's never in any way ossify the body of science and health, the system of divine principle. Its beautiful matrix structure signifies that its conception is unconfined. Never must it be thought of as a prescribed mold in which its ideas can set hard or ossify. No prescribed dogmas, always new revelation, new life, proceeding from an infinite, unstereotyped source. So ossification, like dementia or insanity on line 29, is the direct action of mortal mind. Thought is the substance from which bones are formed. As, of course, in human procreation, as we turn over there to 424 at the top, the self-division of the parent's mind forms the child's bones. Then he himself becomes a separate, individualized mortal mind with his own thoughts of bones. And so let's go direct to God, the one parent mind, for our individual, our indivisible being, everything that's true about us, in and of the divine system, and not in belief, have what we are handed down in terms of heredity from father to son, father to son, father to son. And in the same way, for the same reason, let's go direct to science and health for what we are individually in truth. Then, on line 5, no accidents. Accident from the root kaderi, to fall, to chance, to happen. Nothing accidental, nothing chancy about science and health. What we are, under God's unerring direction, as certainly provided for in science and health, is that which is infallible, unfallible. Man unfallen. No accident of mortal birth, no accident of mortal death. Lines 5-7, accidents unknown to the divine mind, to the one mind. Science, not a thing of chance. Mind directs unerringly its own non-accidental science. So let's unite with the one mind, therefore, on line 7, in order that nothing happens accidentally. Because then it is that we're living under mind's divine providence. Line 10. Isn't it wonderful to think that what we've been divinely provided with is the Christian Science textbook? Providence, from the word meaning foresight, minds, foreknowledge in science, of its own, everything. Timeless, infallible perfection. Line 11. Knowing everything that exists regarding myself, everything that I, God, am, mind says, I know, I see, I am aware of everything about you, everything that you are. Therefore, you are eternally provided for. I foreknow you forever. Please now turn to the third of the tapes on Christian Science Practice.